This is Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. My next guest in this edition is Grace Marie Turner. She's president of the Galen Institute, one of the leading healthcare policy organizations in the country. We want to get her thoughts today as the House is now on the verge of passing a record $3.6 trillion budget blueprint, which includes plans for more than $600 billion to be spent on reforming the healthcare system over the coming years. So what exactly will that money be spent on? And Grace Marie, thanks so much for being with us.
Greg, it's a pleasure to be with you.
Right now, this is just the budget blueprint. From what we're hearing, obviously, the healthcare policy is going to be debated in more detail later this summer. But just the fact that this money is in this budget, what does that mean?
It means that they're calling it basically a down payment on major health reform. The reform proposals that are being circulated in Washington right now are expected to cost between $1.5 and $1.7 trillion more than we're spending now on health care over the next 10 years. So it's a significant, significant additional expenditure, and this is they don't even have all the money in this budget. There's going to be a lot more that they're going to need to come up with.
And what does it suggest? If they want to spend that much money, what does it mean that that money is going to be needed for?
Well, and we really have a pretty good idea of the outline of the plan that they're going to be proposing. They're going to require everyone to have health insurance, and they're going to require all employers to pay for health insurance for their workers. That means that there will be some individuals and some small businesses especially that are going to be need to have help in purchasing that insurance. So we know that a big part of that is going to be subsidies for more people to get coverage, which is a good thing. But one of the things that we have seen over and over in Hawaii and elsewhere, and also with our state children's health insurance program, is if you expand access to these government programs and government subsidies, that more and more people drop the private coverage they have in order to go on the government plan. So a lot of this is going to be, I fear, replacing the private coverage that people already have with taxpayer-supported coverage, which is sort of a double hit. We're paying for money for coverage that we shouldn't have to pay for, and we're also putting people on public plans which are going to have much more limited access to doctors and hospitals.
I want to follow up on a couple of points you just made there, Grace Marie. Given the fact that we've already seen what you just mentioned play out in a couple different states, Hawaii for sure, and I believe Massachusetts too,
yes.
To some extent as well, is that when folks have the option of getting free coverage or paying for private coverage, they're going to take the free coverage through the government. So how much more could we be looking at in terms of a price tag than besides the $1.5 to $1.7 trillion you mentioned?
I think it's really an abyss. I think that there's going to be no end to the claims for more and more people to be added to the government plans. In fact, they've got another part of the plan is to create a new, basically, program like Medicare, a new public health insurance plan, which they're going to tell us will be an option for private coverage, but this new plan will be a monopoly player eventually, and actually, I think, relatively quickly, because they have all the subsidies from government. They have federal policing authority, federal price control authority. They'll quickly shove private insurance out of the market, and a reputable study by the Lewin Group has shown that as many as 130 million Americans will likely lose the private coverage they have now if this new public plan is created. So basically, I think these programs are a superhighway to a single-payer government-run health care system.
Grace Marie also mentioned that these changes could restrict access to care. Just yesterday in the program, we talked with a former Clinton administration official who said very matter-of-factly that in terms of cutting spending, when it comes to health care, decisions will have to be made about who gets access to health care and how often. What can we expect on that front?
Well, and we already know, because in the stimulus package, they passed a provision that spends $1.1 billion on something called comparative effectiveness studies. And these are studies for the federal government to decide what medical treatments are good or bad, which were going to be available to us or not, first through these public programs, but I think eventually for everyone. And that's a first step toward rationing. We see that over and over in European systems where the government plays a major role. The taxpayers are just unwilling to support unlimited access to all of the health care that everybody can consume, and they have to start putting restrictions on access. Starts with price controls, then it goes to access controls and ultimately rationing of major medical equipment. I argue that Natasha Richardson in Canada would have lived had they not rationed some big ticket items in the province of Quebec, such as medical helicopters and more CT scanners. So they could have seen that her brain tumor after her skiing accident a couple of weeks ago was very serious and needed immediate serious trauma care.
Grace Marie, you've been involved in the healthcare policy debate for a long time. You're around in 1993-94 when the Clinton administration tried to advance its version of healthcare reform. How big is the fight right now over the budget compared to the fight that's likely to come later this year over the actual policy? Because once the money's authorized, it's usually going to get spent.
Well, that's really what worries me, is that if they're arguing about whether or not they want to try to pass this through the Senate with 51 votes, which means that they would be able to pass a major sweeping health reform provision through both houses of Congress, primarily with only Democratic votes. If it really needs to be bipartisan, it needs to be deliberated, and we don't need to have another bill that is going to get enacted before people even are able to read it. That's what happened with the stimulus bill. That's why there was this huge uproar over the AIG bonuses. That was in the legislation. It was passed in the middle of the night. No one had a chance to read it. We can't do that to the American people with a major sweeping health reform proposal, but that's really the track that the leadership of Congress is arguing that the procedure they want to take. We have a petition, Greg. Can I tell people about?
Absolutely.
Go to www.donoharmpetition.org. Donoharmpetition.org. We're collecting signatures to give to members of Congress for people who don't want to see this kind of government control over our health care system. And we're going to deliver those to members and really encourage people to sign up and let us have their voices be heard.
Grace Marie, thanks so much for your time as always.
Thank you so much, Greg.
Grace Marie Turner is president of the Galen Institute. Again, it's donoharmpetition.org. This is Dateline Washington.